37. Psalm 37. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Psalm 37. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, because truly you are faithful to us. And we are so grateful for that, Father. And we thank you. Thank you for your presence here tonight. Thank you for the Holy Spirit being in our midst. And we reverence him and we honor him here in this service tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father, that everyone under the sound of my voice, whether they be present here with us tonight or watching the live stream, I pray that their hearts will be open, dear Lord, to receive your word tonight. That their hearts will be open to receive, and that their ears also will be open to hear your word. That they will be hearers of the word and receivers of the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this blessed opportunity to minister your word. And Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Everybody say, God is faithful.
God is faithful.
Amen. I've been ministering that to you for 2 or 3 weeks. Now, and so tonight, I would just like to pick out a few nuggets. I call them golden nuggets from Psalm 37 that I know will bless us. So, are you ready?
Amen.
Amen. Now, we began by reading the first 4 verses, or actually first 5 or 6 verses. Let me go ahead and read those 6 verses. Then I want to pick out a few nuggets from the chapter, chapter 37. It says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good." I want to tell you something, folks. You can't read that too much. You hear me? You can't read that too much. Trust. In other words, you can't overdose on this. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. I'm so glad that God wants me to have the desires of my heart.
Amen.
Amen. And of course, my heart's desires will line up with his word.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Verse 5, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday." Let's go on down to verse 7. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." Now, verse 9 says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." All right, praise God. Now, let me give you a few nuggets from this chapter. Drop down to verse 16. It says, "A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. You see that? A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Jesus asked a question one time. He says, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world yet loses his soul? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? See, we have to make sure as believers that we have our priorities in order. Amen. I believe with all my heart and the word of God supports the fact that God wants his people to prosper. You hear me? God wants his people to prosper. In 3 John 2, the writer said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. Prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. So let me tell you something. It is God's will for me to prosper financially. It's God's will for me to prosper materially. It's God's will for me to have a prosperous marriage or a fruitful marriage. Let me tell you something. And don't lose track of what the Word of God says. It is God's will that we prosper financially. It is. And materially. But you know what's more valuable than that? Is for a father and a mother to have their children born again, living for Jesus, on their way to heaven one day. Because you have to understand, those are eternal rewards. However we prosper down here, and God does want us to prosper down here because he wants our needs to be met. God gets no pleasure out of us suffering because of lack. God gets no pleasure out of you looking across your living room at your little children who you can't afford to feed. God doesn't get any pleasure out of that. God loves us, and he has provided for us. Yes, there is a thief, and there are many reasons that people suffer financially and live in poverty, and it is not always their fault. Amen. But what's far more important is that we know Jesus and that we're living for him. Amen. But now Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus said himself, give and it would be given back to you, right? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, would men give unto your bosom or give back to you? And that the same measure you meet, in other words, to the degree that you give, it's going to come back to you. In other words, If you want to truly be blessed, be willing to be a blessing. Say that again. If you want to be truly blessed, be willing to be a blessing. Amen. But now the Word of God also tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. We as believers must always keep money in its proper place. Okay? So we read here in the 16th verse of Psalm 37, it says, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Let me tell you something. A person can be a billionaire and not know Jesus. And you can have very little financially or materially. And I want to tell you something. You are better off than that billionaire. First of all, you know the man that can change your situation. You know the man that can change your circumstances. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, the Bible says, let the poor say what? Say what? Let the poor say, I'm rich. Let the sick say, I'm healed. Hallelujah. Amen, because of what the Lord has done. Jesus became poor that we might be rich. And rich don't necessarily mean being a millionaire. You have all your needs met. You have all your needs met abundantly. Why do I say abundantly? Because when it's abundant, then you got plenty to be a blessing to someone else. But what we got to understand is righteousness and being right with God is more important than anything else. It's more important than what you have. It's more important than your career. It's more important than anything. Hallelujah. And we got to keep that in mind. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't work. That doesn't mean that we're supposed to be poor and walk in lack and try to look holy. Amen. But you understand something. Being right with God, walking with God, is more important than any, and I do mean anything else. Can I get another amen on that? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, let's look at another golden nugget, see? Drop down to verse 18. It says, listen, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Now, he's talking about the upright. Amen. Talking about the born-again believer that loves God. The Lord knows the days of the upright. Oh, by the way, if the day hadn't gone too well for you, God knows about it. God knows about it. Praise God. God knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Listen at this, verse 19. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Now, I think I heard about 3 or 4 amens there. Now, they have it on the screen. I want you to read first part of this verse with me, because I want you to hear yourself saying it. Say it right along with me, and those of you that's watching the live stream, you join in with us, okay? On three, one, two, three. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Stop right there. Oh, get that in your spirit. That, see, that tells me that whatever tomorrow brings, God's already got my answer for it. You hear me? See, God knew, and this year is about over, 2020 is about over, but God knew about this coronavirus, this COVID-19. God knew about this thing, and guess what? God already had my way out of it. God already had your way out of it before it ever got here. Because he said, I will not be put to shame in the evil time. That's the reason it pays, not cost, it pays to follow God. It pays to stay in the Word of God. It pays to walk with Jesus. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
That's the word of God, folks. That's the word of God. Now, let's go back to verse 19 again. They shall not be ashamed in the evil times. And everybody say and. Glory to God. And is connecting what was just said to what is about to be said. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be what? Ooh, glory, hallelujah. In the days of famine, in the days of lack, God's going to find a way to meet the needs of the righteous who trust him, who walk with him, who listens to his spirit, who have his desires and his wants at heart, who are seeking his ways, standing on his word. That's the reason he's God. He is God of the impossible. You hear me? I said he is God of the impossible. God is keeping me and you in 2020, which is about gone. But can I give you some news? We walk with him, he gonna keep us in 21 too. I wanna read that again. Y'all wanna read the whole verse with me? Yeah, do you want to read it with me? Glory to God. All righty. We'll read it together on three. Three. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Now, here's what I want to do. Here's what I want us to make this thing personal. I want us to make it personal. So we'll say it again, but we'll say it like this. I will not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, I will be satisfied. All right? All right. Let's say it again on three. Three. I will not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, I will be satisfied. Glory to God. Glory to God. But you have to understand, we're not looking to man. We're looking to God. God, yes, God uses man, doesn't he? He uses man, but we look to God. We look to God. We trust in God. Praise God. Kind of remind me of a song. Praise God. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Lord knows my days. Hallelujah. The Lord knows my days. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Let's move on to another nugget here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Drop down to verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And that's, by the way, that's a good woman too. Okay. Amen. It's not leaving the ladies out. Praise God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That means when we walk with the Lord, when we fellowship with the Lord, God will speak to us. He will order our steps, like Felicia sings, from time to time. He will order our steps because we are in fellowship with him. Amen. I'm not going to give the details of the situation, and please don't ask after service, but the other night at home, my wife told me, says, we need to pray. She said, the Lord's speaking to me that we need to pray about a certain situation. And we did. We prayed in English and we prayed in other tongues, prayed in the Spirit. We didn't know what was going on, but we prayed. Come to find out sometime later, maybe next day, that there was something going on that needed to be prayed about during that particular time that the Lord spoke to her that we need to pray. Guess what God was doing? He was ordering our steps. He was ordering our steps. He spoke to her, and then she communicated it to me. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, Habashi. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. This is the time. This is the time that we've got to walk with him and we've got to flow with him. There's things he want to tell us. I hope you're hearing me tonight. This is the time. This is the time. This is the time. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. God's eyes goes to and fro throughout the earth looking for people that he can use to carry out this mission that he's called us to in this earth. We cannot be so busy doing our own things that we don't hear him. Now, it just so happened, when the Lord spoke to her, that she was in a time of worship and just spending some time with the Lord. Am I right? You know, I don't remember exactly what I was doing. I was doing something around the house there. But and she was just, you know, she was in a position to where she heard what the Lord had to say. And then she communicated it to me, and we prayed. And guess what? Nothing bad happened. It's amazing how God will use us if we will allow him to. Don't fall for that lie of the devil to say, oh, God don't want to use you. After all, who you think you are anyway? Listen to me. God does want to use you. But you know what? We have to put ourselves in a position to be used. Amen. Number one, we need to be clean vessels. We need to live for him and be serious about our walk with him. Glory be to God. If you really mean this, and those of you that's watching too, you know, if you born again, you can say this too if you choose to do so. But if you really, really mean it, just lift up one hand, and if you really mean it, say use me, Lord.
Use me, Lord.
Say, I want to be used.
I want to be used
for your glory.
For your glory.
Tell Lord, I want to affect eternity. Because I hear your voice. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, verse 23 again, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And listen, it says, and he delights in his way. And listen at verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Let me tell you something. Sometimes folks just say, oh, I want to be used by God, but I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy. I made a mistake last week. Well, let me tell you something. Verse 24 says, if you stumble, God's not going to cast you down. But he's going to uphold you with your hand, with his hand. In other words, you know, sometimes we can be, listen to me, sometimes we can be wrong in our head, but right in our heart. Say that again. Sometimes we can be wrong in our heads, but right in our hearts. And as you hear me say so many times, I am so glad that the Holy Ghost put 1 John 1:9 in the Bible. Because if I make a mistake, I can get that thing right. I can get that thing right. If someone gets on my nerves and I wound up saying something that I later regret, I can make it right. I can get it right. You hear me? I can get it right. If your husband get on your nerve and you say something that you later regret, you can get it right. Or if your wife get on your nerve and you say something that you later regret, you can get it right. You can make it right. And by the way, if you need to apologize, don't hesitate to apologize. This was so funny today. We were talking, and my wife, sweet as she is, you would never think she could even do anything like this, but she did it. I don't know, what were you, about 11, 12, when you was trying to get your religion? But anyway, I don't remember how. She was almost 12. She was in the church and they was going down to the mourner's bench and praying and seeking God and so forth, and nothing was happening for her. So she told us, she had talked to her mom about it, and I think you say your mom asked her what she asked you?
If I had done something to hurt somebody.
If you had done something to hurt somebody. Yeah, if you had done something to hurt somebody, and she got to think about that thing and remembered that she slapped the fella. She slapped the fella. And now you have to understand, she's an 11-year-old girl, okay? Almost 12, or we were you 12? Oh, she was 12 years old. And you know how aggravating young men are, boys at that age, you know. Running up to her and hitting her and then running off or whatever. But the last time he didn't get away fast enough because she caught it right side the face. But she started feeling bad about that thing, so she repented. She repented before God for striking the young fella. And because he had it coming because of the way he was acting. But yet and still, she repented because she realized what she did was wrong. Amen. Do you know about that, Wilhelmine?
No.
She never told you. But anyway, what she did was right. She got it right with God. And I mentioned 1 John 1:9 earlier, and some of you watching or whatever may not know what 1 John 1:9 said, but it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. In other words, wipe the slate clean. Now that don't mean we just try to play with God. Well, I know he'll forgive me, so I'm going right back tomorrow and do the same thing. Then I'll ask him to forgive me, and then, you know. No, you don't play with God, because sin does cost. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. So you don't want to play around like that. But the fact of the matter is, God will forgive you. Amen. So the Bible say, even if you stumble or even if you fall, he'll pick you back up and brush you off, so to speak, and say, keep on going. Even if you made a bad decision, not necessarily anything sinful, but you just made a bad decision, God will help you get it right. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Y'all still here with me? Now, you got time for one more? You got time for one more? Oh, I love this next one. Now, see, in this next one, David had to testify a little bit. How many of you know it's good to testify of the goodness of the Lord? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's good to testify of God's goodness. And this is what he said. This is verse 25. He says, I have been young, and I can say me too. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Are you still here? He says, I've been young and now I am old, but I have never ever seen God forsake his righteous. Hallelujah. And he went on to say, nor his descendants begging bread. And let me tell you something, and this is another whole sermon right here, but I'm not going there other than to say this. You don't realize, or at least I hope you realize, how important it is for you to walk with God. How important it is for you to walk by faith. How important it is, listen to this, for your children, everybody say children, and your grandchildren, say grandchildren. It is important that they see you living for God. It's important for them to see you come to church and not send them and you go do something else. Listen, families need to be in church together. God is a family God. God is a family God. When God gave Eve to Adam, what did he tell him? Be fruitful and multiply. In other words, what he was saying, build me a family. Grow me a family. I'm a family God. But sometimes we think just because children are children and they act like they're not paying attention, or they may cry and kick and scream, say, I don't want to go to church, blah, 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 blah. Bring them anyway. Amen. Bring them anyway. And then you be an example in front of them. Oh, by the way, don't think just because they're children, you can fool them. They know if you're living right or not. They know if you mean what you say. You come to church and you testify and you shout and you run and you jump and you do all that, and they see that too. But they also see you at home. They see you at home. David said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. When we live right, when we walk by faith, when we live a pure life, when we have a prayer life, guess what we do? We are passing that down to our children. We're passing it down. You may not see them praying too much, but if they've been watching you, they know how to pray. If you don't believe me, wait till it get a little hot. Or they kind of get in a little trouble, or they got a situation that they don't know what to do with, they hurry up and start praying. But you know what? If they hadn't had it put on the inside of them, they wouldn't know what to do. They wouldn't know what to do. The Word of God tells us to train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. We have forgotten to a large extent that we are supposed to be training our children. The school is not supposed to be training your children. You're supposed to be training your children. Yes, they go to school, but they need to learn from mama and daddy. Starts at home. Starts at home. Oh, by the way, you need to have sit down with your children and find out what they learning in school. What did the teacher teach you today? Tell me about your day. Well, Pastor, I know, but I'd be so busy. Take time for your children. They are worth it. God gave them to you. You hear me? God gave them to you. They are precious. God put them, God placed them in your hands. God has trusted you with those children. Amen. I'm getting ready to quit here. So David say, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread. Why are the descendants not begging for bread? Because mama and daddy has instilled something into them that they can use, that they've learned how to trust God. Oh, you ready for this one? They've learned how to work. The Bible says, everybody say the Bible says, if a man don't work, he don't eat. Now, work is a four-letter word, W-O-R-K. But, you know, we were taught as young folks, be careful about them four-letter words, you know. Usually they're talking about profanity and nasty words and all that. But let me tell you something. Work is not nasty. Hallelujah. Amen. And finally, it says, verse 26, he is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Amen. I'm expecting my children to be blessed continuously. I want them to build on what their mother and I have taught them. Matter of fact, I expect them to be better parents than we were. Because they had an opportunity to learn from us and build on that. Amen. Teach their children to be better parents than they are. This thing should be increasing, don't you agree? Yes. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, has this blessed you this evening? Yeah, I just wanted to share some nuggets with you. from the 37th Psalm. Psalm 37 is such a beautiful psalm. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Amen. Before I go, I want to extend an invitation to anyone who's watching right now.